Hello and welcome to the Inspired Women Gathering Show. My name is Dixie Bennett. I'm a four-time best-selling author, international speaker, spiritual guide, mentor, coach, and healer. I help heart-centered healers and leaders who feel unclear about their direction, heal their self-worth, embody their soul purpose, and create sustainable business by tapping into their own body-mind connection. I believe our body is a direct reflection of where we're stuck in our life and business. When we can clear those obstacles that block the path to our best and true self, possibilities are abundant. This show, we discuss all things from life, relationship, spirituality, business, and everything in between. Women are so inspiring, living through their stories, finding resilience, resourcefulness, tenacity, and the powerful impact that we make in the world. I love connecting and having deep conversations that help awaken you to different possibilities and ways of being. I hope you will find juicy nuggets that you can apply to your life or business so that you can live your best life. Are you ready? Let's get started. Our conversation today is around one of my absolute favorite topics, finding body love and acceptance. And my guest today is Lorna Kettler. She's a body love enthusiast, and our conversation is so delicious and delightful. And before we dive into that, I would just love for us to take a moment to really check in with our bodies. You know, just drop into your body, just take a moment to close your eyes, stop whatever you're doing. And as you drop in, you know, just drop into your heart for a moment, bring your breath in, slow down. And simply notice, how is your body feeling today? Is there any tensions or tightness? What does your skin feel like? Have you noticed your skin lately? And have you noticed how your clothes sit on your skin? And even just taking a moment to really feel through your body, can you feel your pants on your skin, on your legs? Can you feel your bra or your shirt or your jacket? Even just tuning in, can you feel the different layers that you might be wearing? Can you feel the necklace that you might be wearing around your neck, on your chest? Maybe the coolness of the metal, maybe the warmth of it. Simply noticing even how you're moving in your body today. Does it feel a little tight or a little sticky? Or maybe it's moving fluidly. And just be curious and checking in, what message does your body have for you today? What does it want to share with you? If it could speak, what would it tell you? And just simply take note. Maybe there's something that you could take action on. Maybe there's a compliment in there. I'm just curious, what loving compliment could you even share with your body and with yourself today? Don't overthink it. Just simply trust what comes to your mind. And maybe even the next time you pass by a mirror today, you give yourself a smile and a compliment and move on with your day. And just notice how you move through your day, maybe a little differently, maybe a little easier, maybe a little lighter. Yeah, how often do we really deepen in and check in with our body? So just take this moment and this time today. And hopefully you got a beautiful message that you can trust to move forward with. Fabulous. So I'm excited to introduce with you Lorna Kettler. She's an owner and lead body love enthusiast at Bodacious Lifestyles, Inc., which originally started as a consignment boutique 20 years ago and has grown to feature the best and most beautiful plus-size fashions from around the world. She passionately encourages women to fully recognize and appreciate their beauty, their bodies, and their curves. Beauty comes in all shapes and sizes, and owning it fully is powerful. After 5 years of living on their boat in Vancouver, she is now pleased to call Victoria home. She delights in seeing the world with a fresh perspective in her 50-plus years. She decided that every month for 1 year, she would create epic experiences, starting with walking 100 kilometers of the Camino de Santiago on her 50th birthday. You can find women's clothing boutique Bodacious in Victoria, BC, online and at various pop-ups throughout the year. As awesome as the fashions are at Bodacious, what you'll find when you walk through the door is a fun, safe, welcoming environment where all bodies are beautiful and worthy of clothing that celebrates you. Her passion includes helping women look at their response to the clothes they're trying on. Do they twirl in front of the mirror? Are they smiling? Are they in love with how the fabric feels on their body? She is loving her 50s and looking forward to her next great adventure, including being a cold water swimming badass. Okay, hello everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today for Inspired Women Gathering show. And I'm so delighted to introduce you to Lorna today. And she has such an amazing story. She has, you know, our topic today is body positivity. And I think it's an important topic to myself and so many of my community. It's a conversation that is often had. And Lorna is very much on that track as well. And I can't wait to dive into this conversation with you. So welcome, Lorna.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So I'd love for you just to kind of dive in and just start sharing a little bit about your story, how you came to be, and your store. You have so much juiciness to share. So start at the beginning and tell us how you came to be who you are today.
Okay. My name is Lorna. I grew up in the Fraser Valley in BC, in the Chilliwack area. Mostly shopping in thrift stores. That was my fun place and way to be creative as far as dressing my body. But didn't really know a whole lot about, or hadn't even heard about the whole body positivity idea. So didn't have a grow up with a whole lot of love for, or respect or kindness for who I am and in my body. Fast forward to an opportunity that I had to volunteer at a place called the Women's Health Collective in Vancouver. And I started meeting women who were challenging the norms, the stereotypes, the messaging that people were getting on media and are still getting, and shifting the conversation around acceptance around your body and celebration around your body, you know, not dependent on your size. So that was a huge eye-opener for me. I was in my early 30s at that time. I had been telling myself for a long time that if I had a flat tummy and blah, 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 I would get my belly button pierced and wear a bikini. Mm. And then I had this epiphany that I didn't have to wait and I probably would never have a flat tummy. And so on my 33rd birthday, I got my belly button pierced and I bought a bikini. And that was kind of the beginning of my journey into body acceptance. And, you know, it's not always love. It's not always like celebrating every part of my, you know, fat bits. That doesn't happen all day, every day. I mean, I think we're all challenged with that, but appreciating what my body does. And fast forward from there, I had an opportunity to open a business. So always loved clothes, always loved style and fashion, but loved to be creative with that. And as a larger body, there was not a lot of opportunity to shop for clothes. There was not a lot out there. So my cousin and I opened a business and we created that space that we wanted to shop in, which was a fun celebratory space full of awesome clothes. So in a nutshell, that was just over 20 years ago that I opened Bodacious. That's the name of my business. And I've been going strong ever since. So now I'm on my own. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, and that's just like a snippet. We've had other conversations, and there's so much juiciness in, well, just in your story and the evolution. And I think, and I just want to take a moment too, you know, celebrating, this is my 10th year in my business, and this is your 21st year, right?
21st year, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's the evolution of how we evolve and how we grow, and the changes that we go through, the things that we learn is huge. And mm-hmm. I'd just love for you to share a little bit more about your journey, you know, as, you know, how the conversation changed into body positivity, but also through the evolution of the growth from your stores, because you went through a lot of changes. And I'd love mm-hmm. to share a little bit about that too.
Well, I started the store as a consignment store. So that was the first year and a half about. And even at that time, we were carrying some local design. And then within 2 years, the store was 100% all new. I guess one of the biggest surprises, I knew I wanted to sell plus size clothing because that's what I wanted and needed. And that's what I thought was missing in the market, but I didn't anticipate the conversations. And that was, it didn't matter what size women were. I mean, most of my conversations were with bodacious women, but it was across the board that it was not only acceptable to be self-deprecating, it was almost encouraged. If two women would come in together, that would be, they'd focus on the faults rather than the things that we might celebrate. So that in the beginning, right from day one, that was a new learning for me of how was I going to handle that? Because I didn't want to encourage that. I didn't want to be a place where people came and talked about shame and talked and felt shame or that they weren't good enough. So I was really committed to making that shift and knowing that when people came into my space, that this is a body hate free zone. We don't encourage incentive buying. You know, you buy something that feels good and that you can celebrate. And now, does it make you twirl? All of those things, what makes your eyes light up? So that was kind of the business piece that was my core. That just has evolved, you know, into.
I'm just curious, how did you start that conversation? Because that is it is normal. People go in, I know I've done it too. You stand mm-hmm. in the room and, you know, it's whether you're talking over the wall or whatever with a friend. How do you intervene and how did you start to introduce a different conversation?
I think you pick your battles for sure. Some people aren't ready to hear, and some people just really need to find a piece of clothing that fits. So, mm-hmm. you know, and also when you are plus size, I think you can even be more vulnerable in a shopping environment because you haven't had a lot of great experiences. So you come in almost with you're not gonna give me what I need or want here. So you really have to tread gently and with love and kindness, I think. And it was just a subtle shift. It's like, what's working for you? Or look at your face, watch how you light up when you put that on your body. Rather than telling people what to wear, it's like giving them your own awareness, because we've all been told what to wear and what not to wear mm-hmm. and what the rules are, what color you are and all of those things. And when is anybody ever telling you that you get to decide what to put on your body? Mm-hmm. Doesn't even matter if it's flattering. It's mm-hmm. whatever makes you light up. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important pieces and I teach a lot of that with my clients in body, mind, body work, right. Because your body tells so much of what you're holding on to when you're settled, when you're embodied, when you're moving, you know, when you're accepting something or when you're resisting something, because you glide through life with more confidence. When you're actually in your body and you're feeling confident, you're feeling more aligned. So the body mm-hmm. talks in so many different ways. And so you're also doing that in clothing, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's so important because when you, even in your clothes, if you don't feel good, you're not going to show up well.
Mm-hmm. And the messaging, and, you know, as I said, if you were coming in with somebody who they probably just have their own issues around their own bodies and what, you know, something should look like. But I've seen people come out of the dressing room glowing and then get shot down by somebody who's telling them that that's not what they should be wearing, or, you know, that's not what the rules say they should be wearing. So it's a tough one, and it's one that we're constantly fighting. You know, most of the messaging out there is not giving that message. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the ways that you encourage body positivity conversation in your store or just in the general, as people have known you?
It's focusing on what feels good, you know, touching fabrics, even if it's not here, if you go into even a thrift store or somewhere and you just really start to play with fabrics, what feels good on your skin. Some people love wool. Some people can't go near wool, you know, same with silk, same with velvet. You know, there's, you know, even if you can only afford to buy a scarf, buy the most beautiful scarf and have that be your precious accessory and then work around that. Because I don't necessarily believe in fads in fashion, but I do believe in being able to create your own style. Mm-hmm. And again, as a plus size person, if you can only shop in one store and everybody else in town shopping at that store, it's really hard to create your own look and image and style that makes you feel like who you really truly are. So, and that's something that I do here too, is really try to have a huge variety of options for people so that they can put something together completely differently than somebody else might. Mm-hmm. So having those options is a big one for me too, mm-hmm. which means that I have a lot of things in a small space, but we make it work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm sure it must be fun to dress up the store and change up the store and bring in different seasons or different lines, tell yes. me about that process for you.
Well, in fashion, we order at least 6 months in advance. So that's always the tricky part, is figuring out, you know, what's the weather going to be doing? What are people going to want to be wearing? Is COVID going to happen? You know, there's some things you just can't anticipate. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I've definitely gotten better at curating for my business and anticipating. And the other thing that's happened is, because I've been in business now for 21 years and I've aged, I've changed the style of what I wear, and I also have changed the style of, you know, what we carry. So I cater more to a more probably from 40 plus crowd. And yeah, I'm all about quality. I'm all about fabrics. I'm all about fit. I think it's really important to have clothes that fit you well, and how amazing that feels. Because again, you know, and so for so long, a lot of the options were, big, you know, square clothing and with Mickey Mouse on the front. Nobody wants that. Mm. Yeah. Now, if we're wearing something flowy, it's made out of silk or linen, and it's, you know, it just feels amazing on your body and you feel like you're floating when you're walking. That's a different experience than just something big because you want to cover your body. That doesn't generally work well.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think what you're doing, and I shared this with you before, but I heard about your store through one of my other colleagues, and just having a plus size store plus a boutique. And for myself, like, I've always enjoyed boutique shopping, because I do for myself, I hate showing up to an event and everyone's wearing the same mm-hmm. clothes, because everybody shops at the same places. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like boutique clothing because it's unique and it's different. It's a different experience. I've enjoyed fabrics, you know, I enjoy the feel as well, and what feels nice and what feels nice on me. And mm-hmm. You know, I take it as a great compliment. So I was at this event once, and this woman, she's like, I want to introduce you to my husband because I always admire the way that you dress for your body type. Like, that has always inspired me. And her husband was a hairdresser or whatever. And it was just kind of, I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. But you know, people do notice. People notice mm-hmm. how you show up and how you show up in your own confidence in your own skin. And you know, and of course, as women, we're eyeing each other up from head to toe. And you know, admiring, or, you know, you can tell how someone's moving through the world. Mm-hmm. And so why do you feel that that's such an important piece, for, Well, just to create a space where people come in to change the conversation, to find quality pieces that, you know, they can dress up in and, you know.
Well, I think a priority for me is that, you know, clothing shouldn't be so serious. You know, it's, we should be playing with our clothes and having fun and really feeling like we can reflect on, you know, our personality. So that for me is a big piece of it. I don't buy a lot of basics in for my store. I think you can buy them in a lot of places. That what I buy are the, you know, the jewels, the things that you want to have in your closet forever and that you can, you know, play and do different things with. So, yeah, that's a big part for me. I mean, the people that I admire are like the Iris Arpels and the, you know, the people who are just like the extreme, usually old, like older women that are breaking every rule in the book. And I just think that they're beautiful and they, you know, they stand tall and they're, you know, they're proud of their look. And, you know, so many times I have women come in and say, I love that, but I can't wear it because I'm retired now. Where would I wear it? And it's like, you're retired now. You can wear whatever you want. You can wear that to the grocery store and feel amazing. You know, and I get sometimes it's a money piece where you don't have the income to invest. It's just because there's a rule, then break the rules. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, it's just way more fun.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think that's an important one. I think, you know, and I see this in a lot of my clients too, where, you know, they show up for work and then work is over and well, now who am I and what should I do? What should I wear?
Right.
I know my clothing has changed a lot over the years, especially because it is a certain style that you wear to your corporate job or to whatever sure. job that you had. Yeah. And then, you know, I think it does take time to kind of re-identify yourself and who are you, you know, it's always kind of the question, who am I now? Mm-hmm. But also who do I want to be? And I don't think enough people ask that question is who do I want to be now? And, you know, how do I want to create my life around that? And I watch mm-hmm. a lot of people just kind of, you know, put their life on hold. They're retired now and they go home and sit at home all day, watch TV and read books all day. Mm-hmm. I hear that a lot from retired people because they haven't mm-hmm. really cultivated or created a hobby for themselves. And, you know, I think it's really cool when you just dress up because at the end of the day, I had one of my male clients, he said to me, he's like, you know, do women dress up for themselves or are they dressing up for other women? I'm like, that's a really interesting conversation. I would hope that women are dressing up for themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's really sad to me if women are dressing up for others to, mm-hmm. you know, acknowledge them or whatever their reason is.
Well, and I think we evolve to that as well. I mean, and that would be a goal for me is, I mean, I've definitely dressed different for different reasons now that I'm almost 56 mm-hmm. than I might have 20 years ago and how I was presenting myself. The one thing that kind of tweaked for me when we were talking is I think no matter where you are in your world, whether you're retired or working or volunteering or whatever you're doing, I think we all have our power pieces. I know certain times, you know, where I put my kick-ass boots on and I feel, you know, pretty awesome. Or maybe if you're an outdoors person, you put your hiking boots on and you feel like you can take on the world. I think it's really fun to identify what those things are for yourself when you put on like a silk robe at the end of the day. You know, it's not all about, again, it's not about fashion. It's about what feels amazing on your body or what gives you that little perk or gives you the confidence to be on a podcast or what lights you up. And that can be, that's so different for so many different people.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I agree. Well, and I think it's important just to find your path, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know just from our other conversations, I'd love for you to share a little bit about your, like, what lights you up? How do you kind of craft your day as an entrepreneur, as an older woman, as You know, what kind of things do you love to incorporate in your life, and including following fashion, right?
Right. Well, since COVID, everything's been life-changing for me. I've had to pivot in my business to sell more online, but I also have started cold water swimming. So mm-hmm. that starts my day pretty much every day. And I wear a leopard print bikini when I go swimming because it makes me feel awesome. And I feel like I'm breaking every rule. And I feel that's one of my power pieces, actually, in a weird way. I've also brought my mom into living with us. So that has changed kind of how all my days are started. So now I go swimming and I have breakfast with my mom, and then we plan our day, and then I come to work. So, you know, I was thinking the other day even about planning what you wear. I know people who set out all their clothes for the week, or they set out their clothes the day before, and that's never worked for me because it's like, I don't know what I'm going to feel like dressing like tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So makes for a messier bedroom, but because I'm just flying through trying to figure out what it is I want to wear. But I'm also very fortunate that I've had a clothing store for 20 years. So I have a pretty nice selection of some beautiful fabric clothes to choose from. And yeah, I now most days I mean, this is a Joseph Ribkoff, a little more fitted piece, but I do wear mostly like more loungy linens and soft pieces now as I'm aging, as I'm getting into my crone years. You know, I'm really wanting to, even in my 50s now, I feel like I talk to so many women who haven't had the conversation around, you know, body positivity or breaking rules or not acting the role of grandma or whatever it is, wherever you are at in this stage of your life. And life's not over. There's just so much fun to be had out there. And my goal this year is, my new hashtag is older and bolder. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the biggest part of that for me is the cold water swimming, but, you know, I want to take on more adventurous things in my life. And
so what are some of those older and bolder?
Oh, so much of it involves travel for me. So that's a little bit, put on hold at the moment. But yeah, we have a boat. So jumping off my boat into the water, that's a goal. Haven't done that on this one yet. I just got my motorcycle license yesterday.
your motorcycle?
Motorcycle.
Oh, motorcycle. Oh my gosh.
That's amazing. Yeah. I have a scooter, so I'll be riding a scooter and training on that. But my husband also just bought a motorcycle, so that's kind of next phase for us.
Yeah.
Some road tripping on that. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with
that. That is fun. Well, and that's a sense of freedom.
Yes.
Yeah, it cultivates a sense of freedom, and I love that you're getting this now at 56. So
yes.
you're never too old to learn something. You're never too old to try something and experience it.
Well, and I'm finding those role models that inspire you, you know, just watching what, I think if we get stuck where we are, or if we hang out with people who aren't living that bolder life, it's hard to be inspired. But there's so many older women that are doing amazing things, you know, whether it's volunteering or, you know, donating or what, you know, whatever is happening. I think there's just so many people that inspire me. So, you know, life doesn't stop when you turn 50. Mm-hmm. It actually opens up in so many ways because you have less judgment on yourself, and you have, it may be less responsibilities if you had children, which I never did. So, you know, that's a different piece. Now I have more. So I'm now with my mom. It's the first time we've had anybody living with us in our 30-year relationship. So that's a completely different shift on the other direction.
Sure. I bet. Yeah. Well, I know for me, because I'm in my 40s now, and I've noticed just a change in a lot of changes, actually, just in, I don't really care so much, but, you know, what other people think. And I think you just kind of start showing up differently. I've really noticed that. There's a different level of confidence, even when I'm talking with people. And I think that's just a part of aging and getting more and more comfortable. You know, definitely not 20 anymore. And, you know, I work with a lot of 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 50-somethings, 70-somethings. And it's always fascinating to hear the different, you know, I hear similar patterns in each of the generations. And, you know, it's kind of cool to look at the 20-somethings because I see so much of myself in those clients. And it's just a part, a stage of life, because you don't have so a lot of life experience just yet. And then, you know, and I'm still acquiring life experience, and you're still acquiring life experience. Like, it never really stops. But I think the conversation, well, the inner dialogue changes, I think, and so does the external dialogue. Mm-hmm.
And what I'm really loving seeing is the back to the body acceptance and positivity side is the radical women that are coming up. Like the young women with the, you know, that are like some of them very extreme, but I think we need that. I think that, you know, young girls need some role models, you know, and at all levels. So, I think that that's, I feel like, you know, they're the people that are coming up under us. But it's really, really important that at all levels that that's happening. So I'm excited to see that happening too.
Yeah.
And I was saying earlier, I don't know that I think there's a whole group of women in my age bracket that didn't go through or didn't have those role models. So sometimes it's starting a new conversation.
When people
see the sign in the dressing room saying, you know, this is a body hate free zone, a lot of women don't even know what to do with that. It's not even an idea they've explored before. Mm-hmm. So it opens up some good conversations.
Yeah. So when they see those signs, do they ask questions or do they make statements? Like how?
Sometimes people are just awkward with it, like kind of giggle nervously, like, oh, haha. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, right. Of course, you know, how could that ever be true for me? Some people are empowered by it, of course, you know, and they like the reminder. More that happens more than anything. It's like, right, you know, this is a place of safety, most importantly, you know, and celebration. So, and I try to emulate that, you know, and again, that's not every day. But you know, it's my job to kind of encourage and show what that can look like. You're not afraid to try.
Beyond your store, what are some things that you would like to have people start thinking about differently, just in general, some ways that they can start implementing more body positivity conversations within their own household, within their own circles of girlfriends?
Well, the one thing that I think about a lot, and I haven't said a lot, is stop looking in the mirror so much. You know, there are, I think that we as women spend a lot of time looking in the mirror, and you're not seeing a total reflection of who you are. You're seeing, you know, usually a close up, you know, two-dimensional version of one dimensional. You know, it's like taking a photo. I think photos can be really empowering and you can learn a lot from it, but they can also be extremely damaging if you're just looking for your flaws. So, you know, when you're in conversations with women, see their beauty and call it. You know, just to say, did you notice how you just lit up when you were talking about that? Not even necessarily about what you're wearing or being beautiful. You know, it's like, I used to teach this course called Ladies Who Launch, and it was really watching people tell their stories and seeing exactly what lit them up at what moment, and then calling it back to them, you know, so they can see it and hear it. And, you know, I think that we get caught up in all the other things and we forget to even notice it in ourselves. So I think that's a great thing that women can do for each other. Just surround yourself with people who see the beauty in you, you know, and that's not just your physical picture. That is like what you bring to the table and your kindness and your warmth and your huggability and your light, like so many things, you know, make the picture of you, not a photo, not the mirror.
I love that so much. And I need to work on that more too, because it's so easy to compliment the outward, like just what you see immediately, versus really sitting with a person and really seeing them light up.
or even share any kind of emotion, you know. Yeah. It's the tears, it's the sadness, it's the laughter, it's, you know, mm-hmm. story sharing, which mm-hmm. is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think Zoom is, it's great because we can do these things, but I think it's challenging too, because we're forced to sit there and, you know, see ourselves on camera and, you know, against other faces. And again, it's just a very small snapshot of who each of us are.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think we're just craving those days when we can go and hug our friends again and,
well, I know, and
be in community.
Yes, it's one of those things. I think I'm a good hugger. I've been told I'm a good hugger. Yeah, and I do. I really miss those, because of that, it creates a deeper connection. And it's just that moment of, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And I've got some energy to go, you know. I look at it as being held. And especially mm-hmm. in body work, like I do, one of the techniques I use is cranial sacral therapy. And mm-hmm. I just always kind of visualize, you know, you hold the cranial system from head to sacrum. And I just visualize holding people like a baby, you know, because right. you typically hold a child in that way. And the child just calms right down. The nervous system calms right down.
Right.
And so whenever I'm doing body work in that way, I just watch the nervous system quiet. And mm-hmm. people just open up like a book, you know, because it's just, we're so caught up in that sympathetic nervous system where it's that fight or flight and you're very contracted versus mm-hmm. being in more of a, we call it parasympathetic nervous system, where you're more open and expansive.
Right.
And safe, exactly, because that's our safety. And so when we can move through the world from that space, we are more powerful. And mm-hmm. and that's totally how I see, like, the energy of a hug does the same thing, like a true hug. You know, it's like mm-hmm. sometimes you get the pat on the back and the shove, and it's just like, whoa, you feel let down versus being in the hug to completion.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And how often do we actually sit in that to completion? And I find mm-hmm. I try to sit in that in the podcast. I try to sit in that in conversation. I sit in that with my clients. And it's so amazing, because when it's complete, it's complete. It's not, okay, let's wrap up and cut this off and move to next week again. It's to live life to completion.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Still exploring with it, and for my own self too. But, you know, I think, you know, there's so many different pieces to add to confidence and body positivity. You know, I find so many people don't enjoy being in their body, period. Mm-hmm. And they don't even like dressing their body, period. Mm-hmm. They don't feel good in their clothes. They don't feel good in any aspect. And if we can change that conversation and, you know, whether it's, however that is, you know, bathing suits are the hardest thing, I think, for anyone, and nobody really likes bathing suits. And yet, mm-hmm. you know, you've gone and found this two-piece leopard piece that you feel so empowered by.
Mm-hmm.
And
I used to volunteer at the Awareness and Networking Around Disordered Eating in Vancouver, I don't think that group exists anymore, but we used to have an event every year called I lost the name of it. We also had the House of Mirrors, which was a similar event.
Mm.
But it was an open mic for people to share their stories. And there were people sharing stories about children, like as young as 5 girls at the swimming pool, you know, putting a big t-shirt over their swimsuit because they were embarrassed of their bodies. And those issues aren't getting better either. Like, we're not seeing that's even with all the awareness we think there is in the world, or, you know, in my bubble there is in the, you know, that is something that and that's what I think when I go to the lake or the ocean and I'm wearing my leopard print, you know, swimsuit, I don't always feel like I look great, but I feel like it's almost my duty to show that it doesn't matter.
Mm.
Like, I'm 55 and I'm going swimming in the ocean, or I'm going swimming in the lake. I'm doing something that's kind of scary and I'm feeling really bold and audacious, mm-hmm. and other people can see that. You know, it's not, I mean, I don't go there to inspire everybody necessarily, but if girls see that and they can see that it doesn't matter what size my body is, and, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't have to wear a big Moomoo to go in the lake or sit beside the lake and watch everybody else have fun, which was a huge part of my life.
Yeah.
You know, not getting in the kayak, not going on the sled, not putting on a swimsuit so many times and missing out on opportunities. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily even about what you look like. It's about having that experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can relate with a lot of what you said. I was that girl, you know, as a young girl who hid under a t-shirt, you know, you put a bathing suit on and a t-shirt and whatever else you could find. it was uncomfortable. And even as a teenager, you know, I grew up in the era of oversized sweatshirts and jeans.
Right.
You know, so it was just, you know, nobody really shared their figure in, and I grew up in the 80s and 90s, but nobody really shared what they actually looked like under their clothes.
The probably the most you would be seeing in the larger bodies is the mocking on the front of a, you know, a tabloid magazine of somebody who might have had cellulite. I mean, that, right? That's,
yeah,
those messaging that we were all getting is like, if you have that, you shouldn't be out in public. You know, there was not a lot of, you know, celebrating or seeing the beauty in.
Well, I felt so uncomfortable. Like, even if I wore, I remember I had a couple of really key outfits that I enjoyed wearing that were kind of sexy, were form fitted. And I felt like a million bucks in them. But they were, you know, there was jealousies of others, and they wanted to steal my clothes, which they did. And it was also, I felt so uncomfortable. I always felt like everyone was like staring, like if you wore anything too form fitted, you know, and even in my corporate career, you know, I always wore fully covered, you know, black, white, gray, and some blues, navy blue or bolder blue. And I always admired women, even now, like I have some beautiful clients that, you know, who dress in beautiful floral dresses and patterns and expensive shoes. And, you know, and I just, you admire women who dress and show that way, but I didn't have a lot of role models, you know, when I was younger watching women, even in my corporate career, there wasn't a lot of women in the workforce, but if they were, they look like men too.
Right.
They were wearing the, you know, the suit jacket and, you know, the pants, trying to blend in like a man. And I think you still see that. I still see that definitely, even in corporate, as you walk down. You know, I don't spend as much time in that area anymore. But I think, you know, it's important to dress confidently, whatever that is for you, to feel really good in your flow, in your clothes, in your, you know, and in your movement, and to dress for yourself instead of dressing for other people.
Well, and I think we can even start to challenge, the idea of flattering, because flattering for who? You know, again, it's all of those rules that were made up. If anybody was giving me advice on how to dress, you know, I should accentuate my waist, minimize my butt, you know, minimize my breasts. You know, there's all sorts of things that we've been told that we need to do. Sometimes I don't care. Often I don't care anymore. If I love the piece of clothing I'm wearing, it's not about showing you that I have a waist or that my butt isn't as big as it is, because you can't usually hide that anyway. It's usually pretty obvious the size of your body, you know, and even in a swimsuit, you're not really fooling anybody. Your size is your size. And, you know, so maybe somebody will judge you in their mind for a moment, and then they're going to walk away and have their life.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you get to have your experience, and we got to take that power away from everybody else and all the shoulds. Stop shitting on ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important. Well, and I think, as you mentioned too, it's important to role model for the other generations coming up so that they can find their, I do find, you know, I even look at my nieces, my younger nieces and my nephew, you know, who dress, and even my sister and her husband, you know, they're just like, we'll just let him wear whatever he wants to wear. You know, his older sister is into dance and ballet, and, you know, and he wants to wear the tutu too.
All right. Good.
Right?
Yeah.
And he wanted to try out my lip gloss. And, you know, and I think we live in a society now where there is more acceptability to trying mm-hmm. it out. And mm-hmm. there's no shame around it. It's just like, mm-hmm. you know, who doesn't want to wear lip gloss? It's pretty. Everyone else mm-hmm. is wearing it. I want to do it too. Mm-hmm. I want to try it on, you know, and I think it's important to, you know, just to try things on and see how it fits, right? It's like your persona or your, you know, even just confidence. It's like try on your own confidence and just see how you want to move through the world. Try on clothes that make you want to feel, you know, that you have flow. I have some pieces that I love to flow with, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, and how do you know what that is until you try?
Exactly.
Like if you don't play, and that's what I like to tell people too, is, you know, you don't need to feel committed to buying to come to this store, but it is a really good idea to find a store like mine or, you know, something that works for you and and just try clothes on, because you don't necessarily, a lot of women don't even know what their style is because they've been following somebody else's rules. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to play a little bit with clothes and, you know, try some things. I have a woman still who reminds me from the early days of Bodacious that we made the difference for her in wearing sleeveless clothes because she couldn't do it. She just felt that nobody should see her arms, and that was so limiting for her because she wanted to, and, you know, and some people choose not to, that's fine, but she did want to and felt she could, and now she does, you know, and that was in a very small way life-changing for her, you know. Not a small way. It was life-changing.
Yeah, so, in a big way.
You know, yeah. So, you know, and clothes can make that difference. Mm-hmm. You know, they are a reflection of who you are and how you feel that day. And mm-hmm. whether you meet people, you know, look them in the eye when you're walking down the street, how you stand, all of those things make a difference.
Yeah. I have a good friend of mine. She has the color every day, has a certain color. And so her whole wardrobe is based on, like she'll put earrings on or she'll have a scarf or, you know, whatever. So every day she's allocated kind of like the day of color. So her Tuesdays are typically this type of color or Wednesdays. So she kind of goes through the rainbow. It's so cool, you know, because, and she, you know, she also shares a lot about, you know, homing our stuff, right? So to ask it, like, what does it want to do? What do you want to wear today? What color do you want to wear? You know, and I think it's just so inspiring to ask more questions and to also feel into it. Does it feel good? Does it feel right? Because I know sometimes I put on a color and it's just like, yeah, I love the color, just not on me. I'm not that color today.
Yeah.
Right. And or a pattern. You know, sometimes I can pull off a pattern, I feel totally bold and confident. And then other times I put that on and I'm like, no, this is not happening today.
That's off to me. Yeah. I love bold patterns, but they're I tend to stay with. Not so patterned. I'm wearing a little bit.
You're wearing a pattern today.
Yeah.
So who do you follow? Who inspires you?
Oh, there's a page on Facebook called The Accidental Icons, and there's a whole group of mostly older women, senior women, I guess, who are, you know, into breaking the rules. So there's lots of women on there that I follow. Iris Arpel, for sure. Annie Lennox. Put me on the spot now. I can't think of anybody else at the moment. There is a list for sure.
Yeah. So where else do you go for inspiration besides Facebook?
I'm following a lot right now, other swimmers. So I'm an Instagram girl right now because there's some awesome women, mostly women, who are cold water swimming, and a lot in the UK. So kind of those women are inspiring me in a big way, not necessarily around fashion, but
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be around fashion, but even just inspiring, because I think it's important to always, I mean, I've always looked for ways to be inspired, you know, for whatever the topic is that's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. And I research the heck out of it, and I follow different people at different times for different things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, and I find for myself too, you know, I've really noticed lately, well, more so this last year, because I've been able to be more quiet, where my thoughts are in every minute of every day. And what am I listening to externally that's also influencing how I'm feeling or how I'm showing up? And when I'm dipping down, I know it's like, okay, what's going on that I'm taking in? And I've noticed I'm more susceptible, just more, and I'm very energetic and very empathic as well. But I'm really, really conscious of what I'm bringing into my environment and into my thoughts, or that even influence my thoughts.
Right. Well, I've just rejoined a group of women for a business group, but they're very heart-centered, very much about following your true path and connecting to what it is, connecting to your own magic. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to be honest, since COVID started, I've been very insular. I've been almost panic stations, like, how am I going to survive my business through this? Mm-hmm. How am I going to keep my family safe and move my mom in with us? So my world got very small for the last year. And I'm super excited about getting that back to reconnecting and even doing things like this, joining this group of women who are going to be inspiring me every single day. But yeah, I've been laying pretty low. You know, my swimming has definitely saved me. And so that's kind of my outside time of, you know, just for me. Mm-hmm. But there's not a whole heck of a lot going on outside of that, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I've been kind of in that same space as well. My circle is very small right now.
Yeah.
And it also serves a purpose. You know, I found, well, and I think, you know, and I want you to, I invite you to talk about this as well, you know, being 21 years in business. And I think, you know, I see a lot of people just starting out, and they're, you know, there's different stages of our business, different stages of pushing, different stages of, you know, we have to try all the things. And then there's just kind of, I've been kind of in a stage of coasting this last year. You know, and also restarting, like it's an emptying out in a lot of ways. I mean, with COVID, and, you know, I've really had to shift my practice and shift my business, and things weren't as easy as they were coming before. And so doing different things and also cultivating different relationships. And I, you know, I always find I'm attracting different people at different stages as well. And a lot of it has a reflection of what's going on within me. Have you noticed that in your business as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I had to, well, what I've pivoted, as I was saying, in a big way. So I'm, you know, my goal was to get my business online, which I've done. Mm-hmm. I was in my 20th year planning to do a lot of celebrating. Mm-hmm. I had the hall booked, and we were going to have a big dance party, and I had events booked throughout the year. So, where I thought I was last year is not where I am right now. But it's been good because yes, I've refined. I'm refocusing. You know, I used to have two stores, running, plus online, plus doing pop-ups, you know, at a very busy business that way. Now I'm trying to figure out how I can do, you know, as much selling and just, you know, refine it a little bit and streamline that better online. So I used to do, I will continue to do pop-ups when I can, but because I was in Vancouver for so long, I was doing regular pop-ups there. I have a lot of amazing customers that I grew up with over there. Mm-hmm. So I'm longing for the days to get back to doing that. But in the meantime, I've got back into doing some art and making jewelry and, you know, just kind of integrating some of the stuff I love to do into my business, which was always a dream and I never did. Mm-hmm. So that it's COVID's been good for that. You know, mm-hmm. there are definitely some gifts there that, you know, have come along the way, whether it feels like that at times or not.
Well, I think that's important too. You know, I have different things that I like to do as well. I've been creating dream catchers over the years. Nice. And they're large Mandela sized dream catchers. And, you know, and I've just kind of spiritually inspired to create them. I haven't really, before I would just start on them and work on it until it was complete. And it would be like a whole evening from like, you know, I'd work till 4 a.m. It would be ridiculous. Wow.
Yeah, you can get lost.
Yeah, totally lost in the flow of it. And I mean, it doesn't really have anything to do with my business, and yet it does at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's inspired, and I wasn't looking to sell them. I just post them and people are like, oh, I want to buy that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess that could be a thing, you know, and just finding different ways. I think it's important to weave different aspects of ourselves into our life and into our business. Because especially as business owners, you know, people are like, oh, business is business and life is life. And it's like, no, like even in corporate, you know, everyone took their business home, but their lifestyle was focused around their business. And I find it's the very same thing as an entrepreneur. I wake up thinking about my business. I go to bed thinking about my business. You know, I'm always looking for inspiration. I'm looking at, you know, it's hard to shut it off. But it doesn't mean that I'm married to my my phone. It doesn't mean that I'm married to my email. It's just that my business is still, it's an arm of me. It's an arm of my love. It's an arm of my beingness. You know, the essence lives within the business because it is me that's pouring into it.
Well, and it doesn't feel like work when you're loving what you're doing. You're being creative. And you have all of these pieces that feed into the part that makes money and lets you do what you want to do, mm-hmm. you know, and is a reflection. I think even more so women have always had to multitask. We've always, you know, had to figure out how to raise a family and do business and do, you know, volunteer, whatever the things that you need to do. And so I think we're particularly good at that, where we can, you know, bring a lot more pieces together and we want to, because it feels fuller. It feels mm-hmm. richer when we implement all of those other things in. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And so, you know, if you were talking to a younger entrepreneur, what are some things that you would, what advice would you give to someone who's just kind of starting out?
Build a strong team. Even if you're a solopreneur, get a support team. People who have different skills than you who can advise. Be true to your core though, because it's really important. Nobody, you know, when I first started out, I thought there really was a rule book, and there isn't. Nobody can tell you how to do your business, you know, 100% your way, mm-hmm. because you're unique to your business. And a lot of people will try. You know, I remember meeting a woman who was taking a 2 or 3 year program before she even would start her business. And it's like that, and I'm sure there was a lot of skill sets that she learned in that, but it's like having a child. Nobody can tell you, you're never ready. You're never quite ready. Like there's always going to be something that you learn. Yeah. But there's so many resources out there now, like just, you know, fill up your cup with, you know, knowledge. And the other thing that I used to say a lot and haven't talked about a lot, but listen to your customers, because and be open, because you may think that you're on this, you know, this is where you want to go, but life doesn't ever happen that way. And I think it's really important to let there be some flow in that and listen to what your customers are telling you, what lights them up, what lights you up. You know, don't change on somebody else's whim, but pay attention to what's working and what's not working. Because obviously, you know, if you're always butting heads, then you're probably not on the right track. So all these brick walls around you and you're not going anywhere, then
it's hard. Well, I think one of the things that you and I talked about before is, you know, growing up with our clients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I love about my 10 years is, you know, I've worked with generations. I've worked seeing people, you know, before they're married, then there's, you know, they're single, they want a relationship, they get the relationship, then they want to get pregnant, then they get pregnant, you know, and seeing also the grandmothers to the mothers, the brothers, the sisters, you know, I've worked generationally. And I know that you have as well. And what's that like?
Well, yes. I mean, I remember people, you know, pushing their kids in strollers into the store in the early days, and now they're in university and some of them are wearing bodacious clothes. And it's completely, it's exciting to watch the changes and the people that stay true to me and my business. And really, I feel so supported by so many of those women. I still hear stories from women who shopped in my store in the early days, and even some who still have clothing, which is such a, you know, it's my clothing isn't throwaway, and people still have it in their closet and they wear it and they love it, and or they've just worn it out and they, you know, can't believe it lasted as long as it did. And yeah, there's lots of good stories there and connections. Some of my best friends are people I met through my business, so that's an awesome thing.
Yeah, lots of beautiful perks. So we're just kind of coming to the end of our conversation, so thank you so much for all of your insights and sharing your story. And any last minute things you'd like to share, especially around body positivity, or any last words of wisdom?
Well, I think just going back to what I was saying before, just try, you know, try some things that maybe scare you, and just see how things feel on your body. Take chances. Seriously, life is way too short to not have fun with whatever it is you're doing, whether it's with your clothes or experiences. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You just really need to trust your body and what it wants and needs, and what lights you up.
That's beautiful wisdom. Yeah, I think it's important. Go with what lights you up, and don't be afraid to, you know, touch things, try things on. And I, you know, again, it's whether it's in your business or whether it's in your clothing. I think it's important just to try it on and see if it fits, you know.
Right. And also celebrate that in others. I think that's the other thing, is that the more we do that for each other, the more we can do it for ourselves. Because if we're instead of being, you know, the enemy or calling out your faults, you know, people are really showing you what they see that is lighting you up. I think that's really an easier way to identify it too.
Yeah, so that's a great reminder. I'm looking for that. What lights you up?
Nice.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you again for the time. Thank you for watching, everyone. And I look forward to, you know, share your comments. If you enjoy this, please share it out. And I think your website is bodacious.ca. Yeah. So you can connect with her there, with Lorna. And I think that's about it. Thank you so much. Awesome.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
You bet. You too.
Bye.
Bye.